Blog Talk Radio.
From ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network, live New York studios. Sports In Depth brought to you by MegaCare. We go everywhere because the prescription your needs are first care. And nice jewelry. We can sell it. We can buy it. We can fix it and make it look better. Mike's Jewelry on 65th Street between 2nd and 1st Avenue. And also by Sam's Leather. Shoes, boots, pocketbooks, leathers, fixation, and preparation is our number one expertise. Sam and Mike, 65th Street between 2nd and 1st Avenue. Mike's Watches, Sam's Leather Repairs and Goods, and 315 Kingsbridge Road. MegaCare, we go everywhere because your prescription is your care. It's our first care. Oh, hey, and Big Pete started this. But to get him yesterday, get him today, get him here. And I titled this Now and Then Wins. Let's go with that to nobody today. Better than anybody from yesterday. They'll be screaming, they'll be asking questions, they get some great questions. So for the next half hour or so, it's Now and Then Wins with Little Pete and Big A here on Sports In Depth Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network. As always, open. We did it last time. We opened with Wonderful by Sam Cooke. And as Father's Day comes, I think I should have probably okay, you know what? A little bit of this.
There's a man at my house, he's so big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile, when he says to me, how's my child? I said that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color him love.
Color him love.
Then I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color the man love. Yes, I will.
Color him love.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And when you talk about father, when you talk about love, you talk about, as Sam Cooke says, and man can't find the words to describe God. But don't forget who the Father is. Don't forget the Father of Fathers. Don't forget your Heavenly Father. Don't forget the Father who you owe every good and wonderful thing to. Yahweh, Jah, Father God. Sam Cooke. Dr. Annie's putting this about the great of the day. Then we don't keep Big A. And now we stop and pay homage to the one and only, to God.
He's wonderful.
Our daddy.
God. He's so wonderful. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my guide, whatever I need, the Lord will provide, and praise my Lord's name, I know he's so wonderful, and oh, he's wonderful, and I really believe the Lord is wonderful, yes he is. I know the Lord, he's so wonderful, yes he is, and whoa, whoa, if you never tried God, try the Lord one day, and see won't my Father come down and make a way, and whoa, and oh, I can't help but love God, he's so wonderful, and whoa. There's no limit to what my Lord can do. And whoa, oh, oh, I love God. He's so wonderful.
You're listening to Sports and Death on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. With Doc Stanley and his posse, where we rope the rumors, all side issues, and brand the truth. Trust in God.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports in Depth.
And now, it's prayer time. John Coltrane leads us in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the light of my life. You are the source of my strength. I lift my hands in total praise to you. I thank you because you kept me. I worship you because you saved me. Thank you for my family. Thank you from my home. Thank you so much, Mr. Weir. I pray that you will bless every one of your children with a long and healthy life. Peace, love, and true blessings. And in the name, precious name, Jesus. A morning greeting doesn't only mean good morning. It has a silent message saying, I remember the lovely people like you when I wake up. Take care and have a great evening. Dr. Sandy Stone, the Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Gov Network. Wait for Lou Peyton and rejoin us. She was holding up. I've been doing that. Birthday greetings, as we did yesterday, to Roberto Duran and Dusty Baker. Also, to, I think it's Vince Williams. Also, the month has Leroy Neiman, Bobby Goodman, the last great boxing president of MSG. Leroy Neiman, greatest sports artist of all time. Also, this month was G.W. Mike, one of our great boxing gurus and intellects. And we also remember the month ends with the birthday of Iron Mike Tyson. Now, on Gilberto, June Bug Ortiz. Mike Tyson, the last great heavyweight champ we're ever going to have. Look at his skill, charisma, and what he brought to the table of boxing. Everybody knows Mike Tyson. They'll know Mike Tyson 20 years from now. So they remember Lance Lewis, Paul McCall, Fisco, Anthony? I don't think so. But hey, we're going to talk about that. Dr. Andy Ford, the Block Talk Radio, the Trust in God Radio Network. Okay, it's time. Big A, little sweet. SID Thursday, now and then wins. Here comes the questions, I'll shoot the answers. Hey, my nephew's extraordinaire. Big A, Little Pete, Sports and Death, it's a Thursday. And we thank God for every day. Sports and Death, Block Talk Radio. Trust in God Radio Network. Little Pete, Big A, going to join us now. Thanks again for joining us here on Sports and Death, Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media. And you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
A Rádio Pajeú é o mundo todo. Fala Stanley, direto dos Estados Unidos.
Meu nome é Doc Stanley.
Meu nome é Doc Stanley.
E eu moro em Nova York.
Eu moro em Nova York.
Nos Estados Unidos.
Nos Estados Unidos.
E estou ouvindo Radio Web Pajeú.
Estou ouvindo a Rádio Web Pajeú.
Um abraço.
Um abraço.
Hugs. God bless you.
Deus abençoe você.
Eita, menino. Quer dizer que agora é internacional, é?
Yes. Ué.
No laughing matter. Here they are. Big A. Little Pete. Let's go. Showtime. Let's roll.
Up, Doc.
Okay, let's go, fellas.
Here, hold on. Nico's calling the number right now.
Huh?
Nico's calling the number right now. I'll be ready. Little Pete.
Okay, well, okay. Well, you're here. Let's go, Big A. Let's go. Talk to me.
All right, so I think we should – I think the conversation we were having earlier was actually pretty interesting, so I guess we'll pick up from there.
Well, let's go. Let's go. Let's have it. Pick it up. Man, we were talking. My thing is I told you guys the other day – nobody today beats anybody yesterday inside the ring. And I titled the show, Now and Then Wins. You know, we talked earlier, and, you know, you talked about how big Oscar was, but then you talked about how great Magic was being able to use his head and his height. And I've redundantly said this. It's remarkable to me, as the great man Boykin says, that everybody talks about how great Magic plays, being taller and bigger than everybody else, and Kevin Durant plays bigger, taller than everybody else, you know, and Michael Jordan is 6'6 as a guard. And yet, you denote in a negative manner the height of Oscar Robertson. Everybody says, well, Chamberlain was tall. Well, let me see. Durant is about 7 foot tall. Bird's close to 7 foot tall. Hakeem, seven. Ewing, seven. Shaq, seven. Kareem, seven. But they just tall, talented guys. But you're telling me that Chamberlain was talented because he was tall. And I'm saying, oh, really? I know Luke Beach started by himself. You know, told you guys, nobody now is better or beats anybody then. And we talk about boxing. Hey, you know, does Floyd Mayweather beat Sugar Ray Robinson or Sugar Ray Leonard or Roberto Duran or Tommy Hearns? It's not that I don't think so. I know so. If Pacquiao and Mayweather were in that era, Burt Flowers, whose brother has the same birthday as Julius Erving, and he said something. He said if they were in that era, they would have never came out of the weight classes that they elevated to, or they never would have made champions. I mean, they don't beat Hagler, they don't beat Duran, they don't beat Hearns, they don't beat Ray Robinson, they don't beat Ray Leonard, beat Aaron Pryor. I mean, you know, I got 7-8 guys they don't beat. They don't beat. Maybe they got a title shot. Maybe they're contenders, but they don't beat those guys. There's no question they don't beat those guys. And you guys, we've done it, and I love it. You know, because Pete had this great thing about hunger. You got to have talent. You know, you got to have talent. Nothing but just hunger. They wanted it more. Talent. You know, you can't hit. You can't hit. You know, Barry Bonds, when he became batting coach of the Florida Marlins, said, hey, look, understand, I got Luke Peach. Luke Peach, what, 320 hitter? I can get Peach to 325, 327. Big A, 317. I can get him to 3 because they have the talent. But this guy hit 257, he can't hit. He's a lifetime 257 hitter. He cannot hit. I can't do nothing with him. It's like speed. You either have speed or you don't need speed. You don't acquire speed. You know, you don't buy speed. You're either fast or you're not fast. And now you can hit or you can't hit. And I was just taken back by Little Pete, who's now with us, who's talking about, you know, Magic's ability with his height. Well, great. But what about the ability that Chamberlain had with his height? And Oscar and Jerry West with their height. George Gervin at 6'7". I mean, you talk about that. It hit me because you guys, I love you guys, because you bring up so many things. I mean, Michael Jordan was a 6'6 guard. A 6'6 guard. He towered over everybody. He was a 6'6 guard. How many 6'6 guards were there back in the day? And you tell me about Oscar at 6'5 was, you know, what a disadvantage to everybody. 6'6 Michael Jordan. And nobody talks about that. 6'9 Magic. And you say, oh, man, Magic, greatest point guard ever. Oh, really? You know, you talk about the all-time all-star team that they picked. Tim Duncan, Larry Bird with the forwards. What about Bob Pettit? Okay, I don't buy the power stuff, but let's make Duncan the power forward. They said, okay, 1910, that's his lifetime average. Lifetime at 1910. You know what Bob Pettit's lifetime average was? 26-16. That's 7 more points than what Duncan scored, and that's 6 more rebounds. 7 a plus 13. Now let's go to Bird and Elgin Baylor. Larry averaged, I think, 23 points a game and 10 rebounds. Baylor averaged 27 points a game. That's a plus 4. And 15 rebounds a game. That's a plus 3. I got a plus 23 on you, on your guys up front. A plus 23 on you, on your guys up front. And now centers, you put Kareem in the middle. I love Kareem. Me and his dad, I work with his dad as a police officer, great player. But Will Chamberlain, the numbers, he outscored Kareem. Yeah, go ahead. Come on.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I got you there, baby.
Who wins in this fight, Margolis, Marvin Hagler, or Bernard Hopkins?
Hagler. Hagler rolls through Hopkins like a hot knife through butter. It's an interesting fight. Because Bernard's at his best, but Hagler beats him down. Beats him down. Very few guys beat Hagler. Okay? I like Manzone against him. Robinson beats him. You know, if Tommy doesn't hurt, beat you. But no, Hagler beat Bernard Hopkins, and it's ironically I say this, they were both great champions. Hagler was a great fighter. Hopkins, unquestionably, was not a great fighter. And Hagler, somewhat to me, was overrated. You know, I think Hagler was a great champion. I think Bernard was a great champion. And they're great middleweights. But I just don't think they were elite. Tommy Hearns was beating them. He went 15 rounds with Roberto Duran, who was, what, past his prime, and 4 weight classes up, and you go 15 rounds, and you're losing the fight.
And don't tell me that he beat Ray Leonard. I just finished talking to whoa. Hey, Hagler has been busy, okay? Ray ain't fought in 2 years. That's number one. Number two, Ray's a smaller man, okay? So now, if Ray Leonard, and this adds to the greatness and the legacy and the legend of Ray Leonard, Ray Leonard is a smaller guy, hasn't fought in 2 years, and he goes 12 rounds with you, and you're the best fight in the world pound for pound and an immortal, do you think anybody who got in the ring against the best Joe Frazier would have went the distance? At their best, do you think somebody that hadn't fought for 2 years would have went the distance with them? Let's forget about winning. Would have went the distance. They only go the distance if they want to beat whoever they're fighting to death. Okay? But their talent alone wouldn't let it go the distance. Now think about that. Do you think at their best, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, Foreman, Larry Holmes, Roberto Duran, Wilfredo Benitez, Ray Leonard, Ray Robertson, Emil Griffin, Aaron Pryor, Alexis Arguello, okay, Carlos Monzon would have fought somebody who hadn't fought for 2 years and they went the distance? More or less won the fight? Gentlemen, no. N-O. Hagler wins that fight. But I'm going to tell you something. There's only three guys who ever entered the ring at their best, and the other guy was losing. It's three guys you could bet the rent on, okay? Whoever they're fighting, they ain't beating them. And nobody beat the first Ali. Nobody beat Ray Robertson as a welterweight. And Duran, when he entered the ring against Sugar Ray Leonard, I think he had two or three welterweight fights. He fought Palomino. Who's the fight else? Anyway, okay. Well, he was 72-1. 72-1. Greatest lightweight ever. So, I mean, my thing, Marvin wins that fight. But, you know, hey, man, Marvin lost to Ray. Marvin lost to Ray. But money-wise, I would bet on Marvin Hagler. But you got to realize Hopkins was a very good defensive fighter, very boring. But, I mean, you give me some money, Doc, who you bet on? I'm going with Marvin Hagler. I'm taking Hagler on that one. Who would you pick in that fight?
I think I'm agreeing with you. I think Hagler has the edge. Now, Doc.
Yeah.
Another good fight that I would like to ask you about. So now, Rocky Marciano, very, very tough fighter, very good fighter. So put him in the ring with Roy Jones. Who wins? Light heavyweight.
Well, you can't do that because Rocky wasn't a light heavyweight. Rocky was a heavyweight, you know. Roy at heavyweight and Marciano at heavyweight, that's a good fight. But, I mean, the Roy Jones that won the title has a chance of beating Rocky. Got to box him. I mean, you know, Rocky, so many fights he was losing. He lost the first fight to Jersey Joe Walcott. For the short time he fought Joe Louis, he was losing. I mean, I give Roy, moving and sticking, a chance. You got to move, stick, boom, boom, boom. Got to give him a chance, you know. You got to give him a shot. You probably, like I'm saying, and now if, you know, Marciano, and it's funny you say that because Marciano and Lewis won big heavyweights. I don't think they ever weighed 200 pounds in any fight they fought. But if you would take Marciano down to 176, he's probably weaker. You know, so if he fought Roy Jones, a light heavyweight, I'd lean toward Roy. But I don't think it's a fight that's going to happen because, you know, Marciano wouldn't go. I don't think it would go down. But I would pick Roy to win that fight. At the same time, now we see what happens when Roy gets hit. If Rocky hits, he'll be gone. So that's a good match. But I wouldn't see Rocky going down to light heavy. You know what I mean? It's a good fight at heavyweight because Roy has the boxing ability to move and stick. And, you know, got a little punching power there, too. But I just don't see him fighting at light heavyweight. I would give Roy a chance to win that fight. I don't think, Marciano wasn't as great as he's perceived to be, and, he fought guys who were past their prime, who were great fighters, but they were past their prime. And they still gave him a tough fight. Every fight he had was a tough fight against a guy, except when he, Walcott early in his second fight. But, he had a tough, Archie Moore had him beaten until the referee gave him a standing eight count.
Doc, don't forget, when Bobby Joe Young beat Aaron Pryor, that was a very, very big, big upset,
When who?
When Bobby Joe Young beat Aaron Pryor.
When did Bobby Joe Young beat Aaron Pryor? We're talking about the downhill Pryor? We're talking about the past Aguayo Pryor?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't beat Aaron Pryor. That wasn't Aaron Pryor anymore. We're talking at their best. He doesn't beat Aaron Pryor at his best. So I don't even remember that fight. I remember Aaron beating the two Alexis fights. I made him beating Kid Pombalet for the title. I remember a press conference they had here at the Garden because nobody wanted to fight Aaron Pryor. People understand, Aaron Pryor beat Tommy Hearns as an amateur. And everybody in the amateurs was scared of Aaron Pryor. I'm not going to mention his name, but he went up in weight. One of the great fighters went up in weight not to fight Aaron Pryor and never fought him as a pro. Nobody wanted to fight. Aaron Pryor's problem was he was too good, and everybody in the pros and the pros knew it because they fought him in amateurs. Well, in fact, they didn't fight him. He beat Tommy Hearns in the amateur. Howard Davis Jr., oh, my goodness, are you sitting down? Howard Davis Jr., besides being voted the most outstanding fighter in the Olympics, that had both Spinks brothers, Leo Randolph, Ray Leonard, Howard Davis voted the outstanding fighter in the Olympics. And before he went to the Olympics, he beat in 1 week in the amateurs Tommy Hearns and Aaron Pryor in 1 week. Pryor on
Doc.
Monday. Yeah.
Doc, after you're done finishing that up.
No, go ahead. No, we're good. Dr. Andy's about the Blog Talk Radio. I'm supposed to go. Never, it's a Thursday. It's now and then wins. It's Little Pete and Big A having their quotes, questions, and say here. With Uncle Doc. Go ahead, Big A. Good, Pete.
Doc, so you were talking about something earlier that I thought was pretty interesting. I wanted you to, elaborate a little bit. When we were talking about Stephen Curry, you said he wasn't a point guard. He was more of a shooting guard. And I thought that was
pretty interesting. And today, he's a shooting guard. I mean, I don't buy point guard, shooting guard stuff. I don't buy – a guard's a guard. In my day, Big A, how can you be a guard and you couldn't dribble and you had no jump shot? I mean, you look back in the day with no guards in the old days – that didn't have a jump shot and couldn't dribble the ball. Maybe they weren't the best dribbler. Maybe they had the best jump shot, but it was part of their arsenal. Now, Steph Curry has always been a shooting guard. He's not in the aspects of what you call point guard and shooting guards. Guys getting 32 points a game, he ain't a point guard. He's a point guard in the fact that he's putting points up, but he ain't a point guard. Steph Curry may be the greatest shooter the game has ever seen. He's a monster, man. I mean, he's hitting threes from the toilet in the locker room. But he's crazy. I mean, you just can't tell me that he's a point guard. Are you serious? I mean, could he play? I guess he can. He can dribble the ball. A point guard is basically a guy who passes the ball, right? So he can do that. But Steph Curry's not a point guard. Are you serious? He's not a point guard. He's a shooting guard. One of the greatest shooting guards ever played this game. In this span of how you'll do that, but Oscar Robertson was a shooting guard. Jerry West was a shooting guard. Earl Monroe was a shooting guard. George Gervin was a shooting guard. Until Michael Jordan came along, nobody won more scoring titles at the guard position outside of George Gervin. And I remember talking to my beloved Julius Irving. When I said Julius here, people was Dr. J, Eddie is Eddie Murray, Dusty is Dusty Baker. I remember at Julius' house when the merge was made, and I said, Jules, who's the guy that's going to surprise everybody next year when you emerge? And he said, well, they know about me, Dr. J, and they know about George McGinnis at that time, who the Knicks tried to get, but he's playing with Philadelphia, and George McGinnis, coming from the ABA, led all forwards in scoring his first year in the NBA. And he said, but Ice is the guy that's going to surprise everybody. He was right. Gervin won more scoring titles than any guard in the history of the game until Michael Jordan came along. You know, they talk about the time where he was leading the league in scoring and he got a phone call. Before, hey, Ice, David Thompson just passed you. He scored 77 points to take the lead in scoring. Ice, showing the kind of guy he is. See, two things he said. He said on a show, three things. He thinks Kareem's the greatest player of all time. His all-time team is Kareem in the middle, Moses Malone and Dr. J up front, him and Magic Johnson in the backcourt. And that's a good little team. That's a team. Hold on. I'm not done. Okay. Ice now. George Gervin said that, one, he was Kareem's greatest player of all time. Another guy told him, you know, if he was around today, man, with the three-point shots. No. The closer to the basket, the better the shot. I want an 18, 16, 14-foot shot. Okay? And then the kind of man he is, David Thompson's passed him. So he comes in. And, you know, I lost the scoring title. And the coach calls him in. Doug Moe said, Ice, man, we're going to get you that scoring title, man. Don't worry about it. He said, don't worry about it, coach. He goes out to the team. Ice, man, hey, we're going to you with the ball. Okay? Scores 63 points in three quarters, overtakes David Thompson, and sits down. One of the greatest scorers in the history of the game. But it just shows you the kind of – he's not going to worry about it. Tell you, let's try to win this game. Okay? Hey, he thinks Kareem's the greatest player of all time. You know, you like that. Like I said, you know, hey, okay, you know, no problem. You know, I mean, my idea of a high percentage shot – Julius Erving talked about that, I saw. You know, he said, you know, he wouldn't want to coach NBA because now people think a guy is really great shooting 33% from the three and he's shooting about 38-40, you know, from the rest of the floor. I mean, you know – do you want – well, nobody plays the back to the basket anymore, but the closer the basket, the better percentage shot is. Look, Pete, you had a question. Shoot me, baby. Come on. Question? Or you had a thought? You or Big A? Come on. You guys can't just stop your phone. Let's go. You're on the air. Let's talk to me, baby.
At 147, okay? At 147, wait. You got Henry Armstrong versus Roberto Duran. Who wins that fight?
I like Duran. Nobody. At 147, you say?
Henry Armstrong.
I still like Duran. Duran, to me, has more punching power. And, you know, and Duran never got any credit for his defense. I mean, when Ray Leonard fought Duran the second time, a sports writer, Roger Hayes, hey, you know, said the first time you fought, you didn't fight your fight. And Ray said, what? I said, hey, you know what? This guy's hard to hit. It's great fight. You know what? You fight me, fight your fight. They had Duran on the cover of the legendary Wanted magazine. All right, my man, Ron. And it said, does this look the face of a fight? Have you ever seen a fight that the Roberto Duran came out of that looked like he was in a fight? Even when Tommy Hearns knocked him out, I've never seen Roberto Duran in a fight that looked like he took a beating. Maybe a little sweaty from sweating. But if look at it. Have you ever seen a fight where the great Manos y Pedros, hands of stone, my beloved Cholo, came out of a fight looking like he was in a fight? No. People don't understand his body. That's what made him so awesome, 35, to have the hand speed, but the power. And now you enhance the power. I remember.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
Doc.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Cooney beats Muhammad Ali in the first round.
What, in a dream of Cooney's or one of those Mattel games?
I'm only messing
now,
with
Jerry Cooney. There was some situations I heard.
Question.
I called him Looney Cooney. Go ahead.
Question. Is when Jerry Cooney was coming up, was he the real deal?
Hey! Is Cheerios the real deal?
I'm serious.
Huh? What did I ask you? Is Cheerios the real deal?
Well, Doc, I got a good fight for you, Doc. But hold on, I'm talking. Somebody was talking about when he was coming up in New York before he fought Holmes that he was. They actually had him picking to almost beat Holmes. There was guys that were picking him to beat Holmes.
I picked him to beat Holmes. I mean, I picked him to beat Holmes. Okay.
Really?
I picked him to beat Holmes. He has a Debbie's. I'm going to tell you about Cooney. Cooney, I remember Don Turner told me that when Cooney first came on the scene, it was no question he was going to be the heavyweight champion. He could hit. He gave me, I've got the glove here, and we became friends. I love him, and boxing was the greatest of all after. I remember asking him, could I have the gloves from the fight? And he had just knocked out Dino Dennis. And he gave me, he said, well, could I have one of the gloves? I said, yeah. The glove he gave me is cut. Cut. Okay? The glove, he cut the glove knocking out Dino Dennis. When he fought Kenny Norton, there was a match card. And it was a hell of a card, Mammy. Cooney Norton, the main event, with the semi-main event. Excuse me, the semi-main event. Wilfredo Benitez against Tommy Hearns, and a fight that was never going to happen because they were brothers in the Nation of Islam, Eddie Mustafa Muhammad against Matthew Thad Muhammad. The card fell apart because the guy that was promoting, he had promoted some great cards, but somehow it came a little short of the money. But they still had Cooney Norton at the Garden. Jerry Cooney hit Kenny Norton against the ropes, and he never moved. Knocked him out, and he sat down. Knocked him out right there in the corner of the rope. Knocked, boom, gone. First round, bam, hit him. Kenny sat on the ropes, unconscious. Jerry Cooney is one of the hardest hitters to ever step into the ring. If Jerry Cooney hits you, you won, gone. Like Marvin Gaye said, you were long gone. Cooney was legit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Doc, I got one quick fight for you that I want to ask you. So,
the question that I got,
this is why I say, even though Larry beat him, I still say that Cooney still had some left in the tank. The fact of how big he was, I think this is where people don't give Michael Spinks enough credit when Michael Spinks was a heavyweight. Michael Spinks was great.
I remember the night that Michael Spinks beat Larry Holmes. And remember, he did it back-to-back. It's on a Saturday. The fight's on HBO. Grambling is playing Morgan at the old legendary Yankee Stadium. And my dear friend, father of my two kids, Melvin and Turkos, who named after his wife, she named Lumetto, Julius Erving is being honored. And Julius is getting ready to leave after the honor ceremonies. He says, Mel, what you going to do after the game? I says, no, Doc, I'm going down. Friend of my house in Manhattan invited me down for dinner. We're going to see the Sphinx Holmes fight. He said, I like to see the fight. Mel, you want to need a ride? So I remember riding down to that fight with my beloved Julius Erving in a limo, because they had the limo who drove him from Philly there, so he drove me down to the house. Sphinx is great, but he's the first, I still think today, the only light heavyweight to ever win heavyweight championship of the world. Billy Kahn had it, but he lost it. But he's the only, if I'm correct, light heavyweight, unquestionably the first to win the light heavyweight, go from light heavyweight to win heavyweight champion of the world. Great fighter. And that fight, I remember I was at that fight. If I got the picture during the fight,
Michael,
that's where he showed surprising punchy power. You know what I mean? But getting inside. What he had, what he called the Sphinx Jinx. And if he hit you with the Jinx, you were gone. I was at that fight. Cooney and Sphinx, Atlantic City. He was a great fighter. The only fight he ever lost was the fight to Mike Tyson. I remember he said, people don't give Mike Tyson for being the student of the game that he was. Him and Ali, that night, June 27, 1988, I'll never forget because it always happened to be my birthday. And Spinks said, when Mike dropped him, he got up. But the student in Mike countered what you conventionally do. He said, I was looking for him to come back with the right over the left or vice versa. He came the other way. And that night, June 27, 1980, that might have been the greatest Mike Tyson we ever saw. Butch Lewis told the story of going into the dressing room because what happened, Lou Pete sent somebody in your dressing room to check your wraps, and you sent somebody in Lou Pete's dressing room to check his wraps. And he said when he went in Mike's dressing room, Mike Tyson was punching holes in the wall. He said, man, he said, I can't believe it. I'm sending my man out against this. And I heard from a source close that it was Butch's change of strategy, okay, that caused for, I guess, the quick demise of what maybe was going to happen. But he told Mike that he had to go out there and establish himself. So now, instead of taking two pitches, he's out there swinging the first pitch, sort of a synonym of what I'm trying to say.
only thing is, like, I people say that Tyson beat a bad Spinks. Here's the way I look at it. This is what I tell everybody. Michael Spinks beat Larry Holmes, and people say Larry Holmes was washed up. But let's not forget about this. That same Larry Holmes, 5 years later, beat Ray Mercer, went the distance with Evander Holyfield. So Larry Holmes had a totally rejuvenated career after that, fought for a world title two more times. So Michael Spinks beat him at a good point. I'm not saying Larry
was Larry Holmes beat the great. I mean, the great Larry Holmes. Remember, Larry was coming in that fight 48-0. Huh? Let's forget. Larry was coming in that fight 48-0, ready to catch the record of Rocky Mountain. He wasn't the old Larry Holmes. He just got beat by a great Michael Spinks, and Spinks beat him again. I mean, to show that it was no fluke, he won the rematch. So, yeah, I mean, for people to say that.
But it goes to show you how great Mike Tyson was. Like, people, you know, listen, I know Mike had some issues towards the end, but a young Mike Tyson established himself so much at such an early age. I mean, he beat guys. Like, people don't realize how good these 90s heavyweights were, these 80s heavyweights were. Like, you talk about guys like Pinklin Thomas, Tony Tubbs, James Quick Tillis. When Tyson fought these guys were either undefeated or had one blemish on their record.
Tyrell Biggs. Blood Green.
No, all these guys. I mean, Mitch Blood Green is a whole nother. Now, here's my other question, though. What about if Holyfield? Now, let's call this, like, really, really, really close. Let's say Mike Tyson and Holyfield fought. No jail,
had Mike
no
Tyson and Evander Holyfield fought when they were supposed to win. This is a quote from the greatest boxing mind of our time. He said, 3 minutes or three punches, whatever came first, Mike Tyson. Okay? People forget, wow. They act like Mike Tyson was on vacation for 3 years. We do concur and recognize that 3.5 years, Ali Lopez, for some reason, they forget about the 3 years. Mike, and understand this, you know, Mike had Buster Douglas beat. Excuse the expression, Mike got fucked in a long count. I mean, he wasn't the best. Buster Douglas was down there more than the count 10, okay? But when you talk Mike Tyson, you talk about one of the top five great heavyweights of all time. You're talking about the last great heavyweight champion ever, E-V-E-R, in the history of this game. Why? Because he was the lead.
Does he beat Sonny Liston?
That's a good fight. That's a good fight.
He beat Larry Holmes in his prime.
He beat Holmes. Oh, yeah. He beat him.
And he
would have beat him. You know, at their best, that's a good fight. That's a good fight. A good big man never loses. That's a good fight because, understand,
I think Mike beats everybody. I don't think there's anybody. I think the only person that could have never beat, I think the night that Mike Tyson beat Michael Spinks, there's no heavyweight in history that could beat him except the Ali that beat Cleveland Williams. That's it. That's the only
one. What do you know about the Cleveland Williams fight?
I know Ali.
That says a lot about you because that was according to.
Well, they say it in Ali's biography. I mean, if you read out, he says it. That's his fight. And if you always
Art Rush said, and I remember Art Rush telling me this. That's the man who started Sports Talk Radio, my last great mentor. Art Rush said. And he told me, because Art was the kind of guy, you know, you ask him something, he'd give you, oh, man, the greatest Earl Robinson ever was, August 24th, 1949, knocked out a guy named Steve Lewis in the seventh round. And hold on a second.
You want to talk about our guys?
June.
Talk about our guys?
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, just giving you a quick shout, dog. You all right?
Yeah. I guess, hey, June, who wins – at their best, Holyfield Tyson.
I like Tyson.
Okay, now there's no question.
Comment on that.
Go ahead, Pete.
So the reason why I'm going to pick Tyson is because I think Tyson had more sensational knockouts. You know, what he did to Spinks was very impressive. And, you know, I just think Tyson had a lot more power, all right? I think Holyfield, the one thing that Holyfield brung Tyson that most heavyweights, I'm not going to say didn't do, but I think what Tyson, well, most heavyweights didn't really bring Tyson, was a fight back, if you know what I mean. Not saying that they didn't fight back.
Listen, the Tyson that Holyfield fought was done. If they fought the first time, like June just said, when they're supposed to fight, Tyson beats the shit out of Holyfield. He beats him, one, because he's better, and two, because Holyfield would have fought him. Holyfield talked about
that. When he knocked out Holyfield, Holyfield kept getting up. So
Tyson didn't knock out Holyfield.
That tough fight, you know what I mean?
What's up? No,
I've seen Holyfield. He went to war with Riddick Bowe. You know, there were fights.
Pete. Holyfield. Tyson didn't knock out Holyfield. And if Tyson hit Holyfield, Holyfield's not getting up. End the conversation. Holyfield's not getting up. Holyfield's not getting up.
I got a question for you. If Riddick Bowe, tonight that Riddick Bowe beat Evander Holyfield, what do you think of that Riddick Bowe? You put him in the history of boxing.
June, what do you think of Riddick Bowe?
He was world champion. Become world champion by being a pushover. So, yeah, he was good. He was decent.
See, June said that. Dr. Sandy, he's putting the blog talk radio such a good. Very luckily joined by the great Gilberto, June Bogotis, boxing, Latin side of boxing, Brooklyn boxing, also one of the great minds of boxing. Having father say, hey, here's Riddick Bowe. A good big man never loses a good little man. He lost to Holyfield in the second fight, just beat him in the first fight. And the only reason why he beat him in the third fight, and by the grace of God, I was there, Holyfield got hurt. Okay? Holyfield threw his shoulder out or something, and then Riddick Bowe knocked him out. So he didn't win as Holyfield lost. But the greatness of Bowe is stained by the fact that he even lost to Holyfield. That he even lost to Holyfield. A good big man never loses a good little man. That's why Mike Tyson would never, E-V-E-R, beat Muhammad Ali. E-V-E-R, never beat Muhammad Ali. And there's a good chance that Liston could beat him, but I think Mike could. June, I think Mike would be too hard for Liston to hit, and he'd get inside and get the Liston. What do you think, June?
I mean, if Mike fights him on the inside, yeah. I mean, Liston with the height and reach, if he would just, fight him from the outside, yeah, he
could
beat Mike. But Mike, if
we
get him in the inside, he's
like
that.
Yeah, I mean, I see, Mike Tyson is the last great heavyweight champion we're ever going to see. You know, 20 years from now, people are going to remember Mike Tyson. And what I said, too, June, you know, people act like Mike took a three-year vacation, you know. And June, the truth is, Buster Douglas was down on that canvas for 10, 11 seconds. That fight should have been over.
Well, I mean, that is true.
June, I got one here. They called me, too. I got the little Pete Big A, you know. I know the answer here. Marvin Hagler, Bernard Hopkins. Who wins that fight? I say Hagler easily, June.
I got my money on Marvin Hagler.
Gentlemen, shoot me something. I got June here. Well, what you got? Come on, let's talk about it, gentlemen. Shoot me something.
I got a question for you and June. So, now, listen, this is a very good fight, in my opinion. Aaron Pryor versus Aaron Pryor versus Sugar Ray Leonard when they were both in their primes. Who wins that fight?
You know what? Wow. I mean, let me tell you something. You know, Ray never fought Pryor, and he never fought him in the amateurs. Okay? You know, Ray never fought Pryor, and he never fought him in the amateurs. Okay?
Can't imagine why, Doc.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Aaron Pryor.
Maybe you'd like to break it down to us.
Well, hey, I'm going to tell you this. Aaron Pryor couldn't get a fight when he became a pro because he beat everybody as an amateur. He beat Tommy Hearns as an amateur. And like I said, since we're family here, they said that Ray Leonard went up in weight just so he wouldn't have to fight Aaron Pryor. I think that's enough said right there.
Yeah, I guess they didn't call him a hawk for nothing, huh?
Oh, man. You know what I mean? And, you know, and people talk about the first fight with Aguayo about the bottle. But you know what?
Wasn't he the one handing Aguayo his first loss, right?
No. Aguayo had lost before then.
Oh, he did? Okay.
I think he had. I don't think he was undefeated. Because I know he lost to Vilmar Fernandez at a fight in the Garden. So I think Aguayo had lost. He wasn't undefeated. He wasn't undefeated. But the Hawk, man, I just love the quick though. We're talking about the Ray. Oh, okay, the Hawk. Like I said, and nobody wanted to fight him. He couldn't get fights because he was just. Everybody just knew how good, how great he was. And to show you how, and people talked about, well, the first fight with Aguayo, what about the bottle? Well, the second fight, there was no bottle, and it was even more devastating than the first fight. So all speculation that there was something that juiced him up in the first bottle, well, you know what, Alexis should have, if that was the case, wish he had the second fight with the same thing, because I remember him not dropping Alexis, and Alexis spitting out his mouthpiece and said, that's it. Okay,
hey,
so
Doc.
Aaron Pryor was one of the greatest fighters that ever lived. But I think, June, they asked me at Pryor and Duran at 147, I'm taking Duran.
Doc, so now
Hold on. Go ahead, June.
Yeah, I like Duran, yeah.
Okay. What were you trying to say, Big A? Was it Pete coming? Come with me.
Pete, so Doc, what's it called? Archie Moore or Roy Jones at 175?
Wow. June, Archie Moore, who has the most knockouts in history of boxing, or Roy Jones Jr. wins. I think I'm going with Roy, June.
Yeah, I like Roy.
Yeah, I'm going with Roy.
I like Roy.
Yeah.
I would want Roy. But yeah. Roy in the middleweight division, I don't think anybody could have fucked the Roy. But at 175 with Archie Moore, I got Roy.
Roy, it was showed. I mean, the last great fight he had at 175, he came back and beat – Tarver never should have came down, but yeah, at 175, Roy Jones Jr., the only middleweight or the second one to come from middleweight and win the heavyweight championship of the world. Come on, fellas, I got the June bug here, baby. Keep it coming for where you gotta go. Doc Sandy, sports at Block Talk Radio on the Crushing Guard Radio Network, the legendary June Gilberto Ortiz Jr., Big A, and Little Pete, now and then wins. Come on, Jim, fellas, keep it coming. I got him. Let's go. Give me
so
another
Doc,
fight. Yeah.
All right, so, Doc, I'm going to give you a decent fight. So, let me see here. I'm trying to think of a good one for you. All right, so I got – so now I know that Willie Pep had the better record, but I think Cornell Whitaker, that's a good fight in my opinion.
Cornell Whitaker was the most overrated fighter of my era. Okay? He was boring. He was dull. Everything went the distance. The only time he had a knockout when he knocked out his sparring partner, Jake the Snake Rodriguez. He was a great defensive fighter. But if he wasn't with the Duvers, I mean, there was nothing about Pernell. I mean, great defensive. He's like a center fielder. Great glove. Like Devon White. Great glove. But the great center fielders, it's Mays, DiMaggio, Mantle, guys that could hit Curt Flood, that could hit I thought Pernell was great. And then you look at, what great guys did Pernell beat? I mean, he beat a one-arm Buddy McGirt. I think Buddy won like five rounds. Do you think that anybody with one arm could not only go the distance, but beat Ali, Duran, Ray Robinson, Ray Leonard, Hagler,
so,
Tommy
Doc,
Hearns, Aaron Pryor, with one arm? I'm asking you a question. Do you think anybody with one arm could have beat them or more or less what the distance with them? I think Pernell was vastly overrated. Your thoughts? Hold on. I got June. Go, June.
I think he was. He should have fought Hector Camacho.
Well, I'm gonna tell you. I'll tell you why he didn't fight Hector Camacho. He ducked Hector Camacho. They said he came into the gym talking yang yang. Hector boxed him, broke his jaw. That's why he never fought Hector Camacho. And that's why nobody, Chavez never fought Hector Camacho until after the Camacho Chavez fight was made. Don King made the fight. Harold West is gonna tell you the story. Duke Droyden, DK's right hand man, called the fight off. So he told Harold Weston, keep that Puerto Rican away from my Mexican until he gets slower. Hector Camacho was – and I'm talking about Camacho, too. Let me tell you about Camacho, too. Camacho beats all these guys today, okay? He beats Mayweather. He beats Pacquiao. He beats Spence. Hector Camacho, at his best, before the cocaine, before the betrayal, beats every great fighter of this era, and he beats him easily. June, your thoughts?
Well, he's a southpaw, fast, quick, that ring generalship. I mean, he had a total package, man, when he was in his prime. When he started messing with the drugs, that's what screwed him all up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a hell of a fighter.
And here's the thing about it. Even with the drugs, even past his prime, he's still with the distance. Still with the distance with Chavez, Trinidad, and De La Hoya. Still with the distance. Got nothing left.
He was done.
That's right. Got a quarter tank of gas and still finishes the race as a contender. Hector, John Condon and Harold Weston told me the only person that's going to be Hector Camacho is Hector Camacho. He was at the top of his – I'm going to say how great Camacho was. Don King signed him and brought him a Maserati. He went down – it was a Lamborghini – and he went down to the dealership, and not being used to the car, he went about two blocks and wrecked it. He called Don King. Don King said, go back and get another one. Okay? Go back and get another one. One of the things I'm proud of is I saw him grow. We became friends. I got a pair of his trunks. Always had time for me. Sorry about the tragic way he went. When you talk about Hector Camacho, you talk about one of the all-time greats that ever entered the ring. And you add the fact that with all his skills and all his abilities, he's also left-handed. That's why you can't beat Ali. That's why you couldn't beat Jim Brown. They were Mack trucks with the speed and mobility of a Porsche. Now you get two guys that are evenly matched, and one's a southpaw. June, you always got to lead toward the southpaw, right?
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
Speaking of southpaws, you'll never guess who I was in contact with. I'm actually texting him as we speak. Michael Second.
Who's that?
To Nunn.
Who's
Michael
that?
Nunn. Remember Michael Nunn?
Oh, man. You know, Mike, June, what's your, you know, he, for some reason, June, he seemed to just, after he lost, he was never the same, June.
I just talked to him.
Tell him you spoke to his man, Doc Stanley. I was out there with him in Vegas doing Tony Tucker. I think I got a nice pair of his trunk, too. Just tell him you spoke to his man, Doc Stanley, from out there. I was out there in Vegas with him when I was working with Don King, when Tony Tucker was getting to fight Lennox Lewis. And the thing about Don, too, he had a sense of history, and he paid homage the great fighters before him. He said, you know, I'm second to none, but I'm second to the great guys before me. I don't know, something happened. It might have been an injury, but at one time,
James Toney was a whole other animal, bro. That was a tough fight, man. And Michael was putting it on his ass that fight. James was just – James had a 2 or 3 year run there, and James was on, man.
Big A?
No, this is me.
Okay, June. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Okay.
Is this Big A?
No. This is Anthony now.
Okay. Yeah, Big A. Big A, right?
No, that was Mike. That was Big Mike. Nico.
I thought so. GW. I know that GW. Mike did back high time. This guy hiding behind his son. Glad to get him here finally. No, I mean, you know, but the GW is a big Tony guy. I think they screwed Tony. I thought he beat, I can't think of the Latin guy's name, man. He had the garden there. Some nonsense came down. Shucks. He should have won that fight. But the judges took that fight. You know, Joe Louis always had a great line. Joe Louis said, you know, I always took my referees in the ring with me. But tag, G-Dub, what's the guy? John Ruiz. And you're talking about a boring, dull guy. I remember Leroy told me something I'll never forget. And also, ladies and gentlemen, I say Leroy, I'm talking about my late dear friend Leroy Neiman, whose birthday was this month. Leroy said, the dullness and inadequate abilities of John Ruiz made him the one fighter he never wanted to draw. And you understand, boxing was Leroy's passion. That was his passion. You know, that was it. Art Russ said something I'll never forget. He said, no matter how many times you go to a big fight, you always get excited when the main event's coming on. You know, whether it's a heavyweight or lightweight, it's just, you know, it's just a constant renewal interjecting of the special juices of the sweet science. Dr. Stanley Sports, the Block Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Radio Network. It's Now and Then Wins, Big A, Little Pete, and the legendary GW, along with June Bug from Latin side of Working on Boxing. Boy, you got a treat here to get both of them in. But then again, I love talking to Big A and Pete. They call me all day long. They think I kind of know everything. All I need to know is that Jesus Christ is King. God is first. And Big A, you brought up a question, and I want to tell people that again. And you talked about something a lot of people didn't know. Oscar Robertson in his day, and I remember sitting down at the downtown AC Club talking to the legendary Oscar Palmer Robinson, the first three-time winner of the College Player of the Year Award. And he told me, you know what? He said, they counted assists in my day the way they do now. Nobody would have ever caught me. And the fact that I'm bringing up is in Oscar's day, and I just was being, and I think Big A, we were fair and being conservative. He had to have two assists per quarter that he threw the ball to somebody who shot a jump shot. That didn't count on his record. That's eight assists that didn't count on his record. And then how many times did he throw the ball to somebody who held the ball, made a steady step, and went to the basket and didn't get an assist? Let's go two times a game. That's about 10 assists he did. And Oscar's day, when he passed the ball to GW in the corner and he stopped and shot a jump shot, he got no assists. When he passed the ball to Lou Pete, who grabbed it, stopped, faked his man, and then went around him, he got no assists. When he passed the ball to Big A, and Big A grabbed it and dunked it and laid it up, going straight to the basket, he got an assist. That's three assists today that he would have had. He only got one then. His triple-double season, 30 points, 12 rebounds, and 11 assists. You could conservatively add five more a game, 16 assists. But, I mean, the measure of Oscar Robertson, and I've said this, I don't buy point guard, shooting guard. When Oscar Robertson retired, he proved to be the greatest point guard, shooting guard of all time. What do you mean, Doc? Well, when he retired from basketball, he was the all-time assist leader. Isn't that what the point guard does? Right? The all-time leader in the history of the game when he retired. And the shooting guard, 25.7 points a game. It was the second highest score in the history of the game at the time. Second in the history of the game, had been through the free throw line more than anybody else and made the most free throws. So combined there is what you want of your shooting guard and your point guard. But like I said, you got to figure Oscar Robertson lost anywhere to eight assists every game easily. Eight assists every game for his career. Eight assists for 1,000 games, that's 8,000 more assists. That's 8,000 more assists. So Big A brought that up to me earlier, so we're talking about Mike Tyson, last great heavyweight champion of all time. He's in your top five. Him and Frazier is a good fight. If you get inside on Foreman's gone. If you get inside on Liston's gone. If you get inside on Joe Louis, he's gone. But the problem he has here, if Joe Louis hits him, he's gone. If Joe Louis hits you, you're gone. And that's the thing, too. If Liston and Foreman hit him, he's gone. Okay? He can deal with a Larry Holmes punch. Him and Rocky is a great fight. I think he's better because of his defensive ability, and he's going to get inside and hurt Rocky. I think some of the guys that Rocky fought couldn't hurt him because they wanted big punches. That's what makes a Rocky Marciano and a George Foreman, a Rocky Marciano and Sonny Liston, and a Rocky Marciano prime time Joe Louis fight, because Rocky's coming at you. When you go to the head plate, here comes the fastball. Rocky's coming at you. And it made me think of this, too. I did the collage to emphasize now and then wins. And at the same time, I got to do a little commercial break. Dr. Andy's putting that block to the radio set to cover. Never don't nobody moves. A little commercial time here. This portion, Sports in Depth, brought to you by MegaCare. MegaCare, we go everywhere, all the five boroughs, because your prescriptions and care, the number one care. MegaCare, 315 Kingsbridge Road in the Bronx. Hey, don't worry. All over the Bronx, all over New York City. MegaCare, we go everywhere, because your care and prescription, the number one care. And Mike's Watch Repair on 5th Street between 2nd and 1st Avenues. Mike cleans watches. Mike's fixed watches. Ike buys watches. Ike sells watches. Surgeon watches. Ike's. East Fifth Street between 2nd and 1st Avenue. And Sam's Leather. Hey, him is the shoe man extraordinaire. Not only that, he does zippers. He does leather. You got pocketbooks. Okay, so whatever you have, whatever you need, M can do it. What's in depth? Watches. M's leather goods. Make a care. The Block Talk Radio, the Trust and Guard Radio Network.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the store that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
What I did, because I always have my collage, and you know, it's my thing. Like I said, this show, Now and Then Wins. And the collage, I've got some of the faces that I know. I've got Oscar Robertson. You know, there'll never be another greater all-around guard than Oscar Robertson. Fighters, Now and Then. I got a picture of Sugar Ray Robertson, 122 and 2 at one time. Muhammad Ali, undefeated as a heavyweight the first time, and Ray Charles Leonard, Sugar Ray Leonard. Sugar Ray Leonard only lost one big fight. That was Roberto Duran, okay? And that was a close fight. Sugar Ray Leonard only lost one big fight, okay? He comes back and beats Marvin Hagler as a middleweight, coming from 147, and then goes up and beats Donnie Lalonde as a light heavyweight. Gets up off the canvas twice and knocks out Donnie Lalonde, okay? All the great faces we have here, Willie Mays. There'll never be anybody greater than Willie Mays. Willie Mays, the first player, hit over 500 home runs, 500 doubles, and get 3,000 base hits. 12 gold gloves in a row, okay? Most is put out in history of the game of baseball. There'll never be anybody better. Now, I'm feeling really bad about Jacob deGrom, but I got Sandy Koufax here. Sandy Koufax dealt with arthritis. Arthritic arm, okay? 5 years in a row, 25 wins, a 1.7 ERA, two MVPs, and for 4 years in a row, he threw a no-hitter. We called it the annual no-hitter. 4 years in a row. Then we threw the perfect game no-hitter against the Phillies, okay? Gene Mock said, I saw him warming up on the side, okay? And this pitch count nonsense, he threw 131 warm-up pitches on the side. He said, and then I looked at his face, oh, I can see he's got it. He did. Then went out there and threw a perfect game no-hitter. When the year that Bob Gibson was 22-9, he said, I lost twice in 1 week to Sandy Koufax, 1-0. I mean, these are my guys. I got a picture of Chamberlain and Russell here. Only two guys average 22 rebounds a game career. Kareem ain't there. Hakeem Olajuwon ain't there. David Robinson ain't there. Patrick Ewing ain't there. 22 rebounds every game is what they average. The year that the Lakers won the championship, Will Chamberlain averaged 25 points and 25 rebounds. The year that he scored 50 points a game, he averaged 25 rebounds a game and played every single minute of the game. And he was averaging 55 points. He said, I better cut down. Only center to ever lead the league in assists. You can have Kareem. Okay? You can have Hakeem. Okay? I'm taking Russell and Chamberlain. My guys, my time, I don't see anybody better. I just don't see it. I got another in the corner. So I got another picture here of a guy from back in the day. Okay, we have you, Willie Mays. You know, that's it, Now and Then, and Then Wins. Then Wins. That's just the way I see it. I think the records show it. We went through the numbers of Duncan, 19-10 against 26-16 for Pettit. Bird, 23-10 against 27-13 Elgin Baylor. Nobody you can put in the middle is averaging 22 rebounds a game. So I got Chamberlain at 30 points and 22 rebounds a game. And if you say, well, you know, we don't want, okay, then you know what? Give me Bill Russell. 16 points and 22 rebounds a game. Okay? Backcourt? There's no backcourt better than my backcourt. No backcourt. Oscar Robertson, 25.7 points a game. Okay. And Jerry West at 27 points a game. I got 53 points in the backcourt. You can have Jordan with 30. Who else are you going to put in the backcourt with Jordan? You can put Magic. Magic only averaged 19, so that's 49 points. So you got 49, I got 53. 49 to 53, that's a plus 4. We go up to the forwards again. Pettis got 6 more rebounds per game than Duncan and 7 more points. Baylor has 3 more rebounds a game than Bird and 4 more points. And then whoever you put in the middle against Chamberlain or Russell, they ain't got 22 rebounds. And if we want to do championships, if we want to get nasty like that, Chamberlain's 2, Russell's 11, that's 13 at the center spot. That's 13 at the center spot, you know, which will add the 2 that West has. That gives me 15. And Oscar's 1 gives me 16. And Baylor and Pettit gives me 18. I got 18 championships. I got 18 championships. What are you going to do? Okay, Magic has 5. Jordan has 6. That's 11. I think Duncan has 5, right? So we're at 16. Look at my numbers. We have 16 at Bert. That's how I see it. That's my feel. Dr. Andy Sports, the Block Talk Radio, Trust and Governor. It's Big A and Little Pete. And G-Dub and Gilberto here, talking boxing, talking baseball. Nets looking. You know what? I think they're playing tonight. General, let me take a quick look and get us an update score. The Nets are looking to finish off the Bucks, and you got to feel that, you know, it's kind of sad and touching when you look at the Bucks had a 17-point lead. Kyrie Irving's not playing. Harden can hardly play. And they lose the game. Let me try to get your update score on that net thing, okay? Score on Nets-Bucks game.
Currently, the Nets are trailing the Bucks 72-63 in the third quarter.
Okay, there you go. 72-63 third quarter. The Nets against the Bucks. Brooklyn was outscored 26-19 in the first quarter. Bucks came back again and outscored them again 33-29 in the second quarter. And Brooklyn has a 2-point advantage here in the third quarter. They got 15 points to the Bucks, 13 points. So right now, with 2 minutes and 22 seconds left in the third quarter, it's Milwaukee 72, Brooklyn 63. Milwaukee trying to force a final in 7th game back here in Brooklyn. And that's the update for you. Now the Nets are up 3-2 and the Bucks down 2-3 and looking to make it all even here. And the latest, Bucks with the lead, 2-2-2. A number of people jump on that here in Milwaukee. Dr. Andy Ford, the Block Talk Radio, Trust Gary Network, Big A, GW. Last questions before we leave. Any thoughts?
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
Doc, what do you think about Rocky Marciano as a fighter and as a heavyweight?
Overrated. Vastly overrated. You know, I saw a thing the other day, and you know, all the guys that thought Rock was great, you know, happened to be Italian guys. I mean, and then, you know, they never saw him. But, I mean, Rocky's where he at because he's undefeated. Great champion. Great guy. And people don't know him and Ali were planning to do a tour together, okay? But Rocky got killed in an airplane crash. Great champion. Great champion. But not a great fighter. There's too many guys that could beat Rocky Marciano. Ali, you know, Foreman. Foreman annihilates him. Because he's gonna come right to Foreman. Bam, he's done. Listen, bam, he's done. Done. They're going to knock him out. Knock him out. Tyson's going to get inside and knock him out. You know, and because they're talking about, well, you know, as the fight went on, he hit your arm. Yeah, but he's not hitting Ali. He ain't touching Ali. He ain't touching Larry Holmes. He's getting touched by Foreman. He's getting touched by Liston. And he's getting touched. And Joe Louis and he's gone. Great champion. But I just, you know, overrated vastly. All the guys he fought were old and past their prime, and they gave him a tough time. I mean, wow. I mean, they gave him a tough time. He was losing to Walcott when he came back and knocked him out. He was losing to Joe Lewis a small amount of time. They fought. Archie Moore was beating him. And then if you look at the Panther and the Great Fighters he fought, they were all past their prime. I mean, see that, you know, you look at Ali, and it's staggering. Ali beat the greatest heavyweights of all time in his second run when he wasn't in his prime anymore. Beat Joe Frazier 2 out of 3 times. Kenny Norton 2 out of 3 times. Knocked out George Foreman. Knocked out George Foreman. And beat Leon Spinks. All these guys he beat in their prime. Beat them in their prime when he no longer was in his. And if he was in his prime, none of those guys that beat him would have beat him. Joe Frazier don't beat him. Kenny Norton don't beat him. Leon Spinks don't beat him. And George Foreman didn't beat him. But like Ray Lilly beat every great fighter of his era. Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran, Marvin Hagler, Wilfredo, but beat every great fighter of his era that he fought. He didn't fight the Hulk. But his resume, because somebody said that, well, you know, boom, 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 boom. Rassi, yeah, well, I said, okay, better is Ali. And everybody Ali beat was heavyweight champion of the world. Everybody Ali beat was heavyweight champion of the world. Excuse me, I forgot. Number 5, Floyd Patterson. Beat Patterson twice. Beat Patterson twice and then beat the likes of some outstanding fighters, Zorro Foley, Ernie Terrell, who was a champion too. Okay. Zorro Foley, Ernie Terrell, Cleveland Big Cat Williams, Carl Mildenberger, Henry Cooper. I mean, he beat outstanding fighters. Beat him. And I said the second Ali beat the greatest fighters of all time past his prime. Past his prime, done. Well, not totally done. He's done after Spinks. But no longer the same Ali. And Angelo said you could see the deterioration in Ali in the third Frazier fight. It was just more evident. You know, couldn't get out of the way of punches anymore. I mean, nah. Rocky?
Hey, Doc, I got a question, Doc.
Go ahead, baby. That's why you're here.
You know who Lennox Lewis is, right?
Yeah, I know who Lennox is.
You think Lennox Lewis in his prime beats Rocky Marciano in his prime?
That's a good fight. There's two overrated guys. And the thing, what would help Lennox is his ability to be defensive. If he got offensive with Rocky, Rocky gets him. But if you could, Lennox was another guy, great champion, not a great fighter, though. I mean, they got knocked out by Oliver McCall and Hossein Rahman. Knocked out. Nobody knocked out Muhammad Ali. N-O-B-O-D-Y. Nobody ever knocked out Muhammad Ali. Joe Frazier can't say that. George Foreman can't say that. Kenny Norton can't say that. Floyd Patterson can't say that. Nobody ever knocked out Muhammad Ali. Okay? In the conversation. I mean, people talk about Lennox. Nah. In fact, if I'm correct, well, Buster Douglas here technically did. Well, Mike got up because Mike wasn't knocked out either, you know. But, nah, it's a good fight. That's a good fight. I got to go to the mountaintop and talk to the great Marion Boykin. Let me see if I can get him real quick on this thing while we're still on the air. Who he takes, and he would give me his synopsis. I like reading his synopsis, too, on things. Maybe I can get mine before we go off the air. Hold on, Big A. Let Marvin Gaye have this to say, and then let's...
question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No, bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world. That's is destined to die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today,
children today,
really gonna suffer tomorrow,
really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
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 Live
for life.
Live for life.
But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Marvin Gaye. Look at situation today. Save the children. As Father's Day come, got to thank God for great fathers. And man, what a core of great ones here we have. Mel Smith Jr.'s dad, Marion Boykin, compared to Ortiz, G.W., Big A, their fathers, father of all, the only father, God. You know, you got to thank God for special parents when you look at mothers throwing their kids out the window, fathers suffering their kids, boyfriends beating up people's kids. She's just dead and touchy. Looking for... Maybe I can see if I can get Junebug to give me a thing. I'll try to get Marion to give me a pick on Marciano and Lennox Lewis. Wow. Back then, he's brought up Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Let me see if I can go to the mountaintop real quick. Don't move.
Don't bother asking how it's possible to love someone.
Latin side of Brooklyn of Boxing, Gilberto Ortiz, Lennox Lewis, Rocky Marciano. Who wins? Hold tight. The move, Big A. Then we'll be on our way. Oh, he's back in the studio there. Okay. We're going to run. Closing thoughts. I'll have those answers for you. Who do you like in that fight?
No, Doc, I think I got Lennox Lewis, actually. I know that might be probably surprised, but I know Marciano had the knockout power, but I think I really think he's
Hold on
I think
second.
Lennox Lewis had everything for him, so.
You going with Lennox Lewis, Andy?
Yeah, I'm going with Lennox Lewis.
Where's it at?
Doc, actually, what happened? Oh, I got Lennox Lewis.
Got it.
But I actually got another question for you, Doc.
Good, Big A.
Roy Jones Jr. versus Nigel Benn. Who do you think wins?
That's Roy Jones Jr. When Roy was at his best, Roy was the best. Roy's biggest problem was he never should have came down from heavyweight. All the guys that wanted to fight him were like heavyweights. Now, I remember I told John Condon one time, I said, you know, Michael Spinks is not a true heavyweight. He said, no, what's a true heavyweight? If you weigh more than 175, you're a heavyweight. If you weigh more than 175, you have, so what's this true heavyweight stuff? Roy, and I heard some stuff about they were trying to get out of working with Don King, which is ludicrous. You know, he's the greatest promoter of all time. Roy was running his own show. You know, he should have stayed, hey, Hopkins, Tarver, you want to fight me? Come in on fight night, which is going to be the Friday before the fight anyway. Okay, so come in. And weigh 170, 180, whatever, and then go back down to light heavyweight. You know, if you want to go back down to 175, go ahead down. But as long as you're over 175, you're heavyweight. So come on. You know what I mean? And Roy said, no, that may be even better for me. Because you know what? Now, what the heck? I could drop back down to light heavy. Or not be light heavy, but I can be 189 and not have to worry about going under the limit. So, I mean, Roy never should have left the heavyweight division. And my late friend, Nassim Richardson, said something that was very interesting. He said, you know, if Roy Jones Jr. had stayed at heavyweight and beat Tyson and Holyfield, which he would have beat because they were done by then, right now, your generation going on, consider him the greatest heavyweight of all time. He beat Mike Tyson. He beat Van Hook, two of the most enamored, loved, beloved, and respected. And the Holyfield Roy Jones Jr. fight was not made because of $1 million. I think Holyfield wanted $1 million more. My thinking, man, Evander, 10% of something's better than nothing at all, especially if Don King was doing it. But Don was the one that brought Evander back. When they thought Havana was on the scraps, it was Don that brought him back. But I don't know the whole story. But no. Roy should have stayed at heavyweight. And all the guys who wanted to fight him, and then he would have never lost his aura of invincibility. It wasn't until then. It was a great fight against Tava, but then Tava knocked him out. So-and-so knocked him out. You know what I mean? So, you know, you're saying, hey, you know what? Had you stayed in the bullpen and did only two innings instead of being a starter, where now everybody's hitting you. So, no. Roy was great. At one time, Roy was the Sugar Ray Robinson of our era. Love Roy immensely. Good buddy of mine. Great fighter. Hall of Fame fighter. But Roy Jones Jr. was at a status that he was untouchable, and then he got touched. But that was his own fault. Everybody told you, go down to the right, and when you get to the right, make another right turn. What'd you do? You went down to the right and made a left turn. Went the wrong way. Then what happened? You ran into the rain, you ran into the bad weather, Everybody told you, go to the right. Went to the left. One of the great fighters of all time. And his, but he lost a lot of luster. He lost a lot of status. He lost a lot of aura. My opinion, stay at heavyweight. All the guys that want him fighting was 175. Big deal. Hey, you know, hey. I'm the champ. You know what? You want to play me one-on-one? Play me on my court. That's all. Play me on my court. You know what I mean? Same dimensions. Bring your own ball. Bring your own rules. But you're going to play me in my court. Roy left his court, left his home turf, and he paid for it. Because had Roy never got knocked around and knocked out, you know, we've been putting him in the same breath with Ali, Duran, Sugar Ray Robinson. Unbeatable. And he would have been. Would have lost to nobody. Unbeatable. And he's been unbeatable for middleweight, light heavyweight, and heavyweight. Damn. Dr. Sandy, supposed to be a Block Talk Radio, Trust and Go. Never, Big A, last question before we go. Anything else, or are we ready to roll, baby?
I think we're good, Doc.
Okay. Well, your last thoughts, Big A. Let me get this updated score for you in the basketball game for you, too. Closing thoughts. What's on your mind before you leave us, Big A?
You know, I think the most interesting part of the talk today was, you know, how we were talking about all these fighters and who would win this. Because I think a lot of these fights would have been really good to watch, you know.
Oh, we're talking about great fighters.
Huh?
Let's get an update on this game. Let's go. Let's get an update. Let's go to the board. Update score on the Nets and the Bucks. Update score on the Brooklyn Nets Milwaukee Bucks game.
Currently, they are trailing the Bucks 82-74 in the fourth quarter.
Okay, 82-74, but 8 minutes left to go. Wow, they both had a low third quarter. Both only scored 19 points, which left the Nets in the same position they were at halftime. They are leading in the fourth quarter 7-4. It's an 82-74 win, a must win. Well, that's now. They just cut the lead. They got 10 points. It's 82-77. And let me see if I can get some more about this game. Let me see some points. Who's here? Who's there? Blake Griffin has had a pretty good game. He's 31 minutes. He's got 12 points. Kevin Durant has 30 points with 11 rebounds and 3 assists. James Harden is back tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. This would be something if, well, he's back, but he's only got, let me get this together. Hold on, wait a minute. Okay, my mistake. Durant only has 30 points, 11 rebounds, and 3 assists. Harden's back tonight. He's got 16 points, and Blake Griffin has come off the bench with 12 points. He could be the big sleeper and a big advantage if he can play and stay healthy here as they move into the last parts of this of the playoffs here. So the big three tonight, 30 points from Durant, 12 from Griffin, that's 42, and another 16, got 58 points there from the big three, along with 10 assists. And look at the rebounds here. Durant has 11. Harden gave you a nice amount as a guard, and you've also got 6 from Blake Griffin. So right now, as we move into the closing minutes of the game, it's 82-77 score. Nets have cut it down. They're 5 away. It's 8 minutes, 20 seconds to go. Big A, you're right. Some great fights, great fighters. Those of us blessed to see them. Big A, we're going to close out, if I can, real quickly, with a prayer from...
I'm tired, too.
Hold on. Let's see. DMX closes out with a prayer here on SportsNet Blog Talk Radio and the Trust in God Radio Network.
I come to you hungry and tired. Forgive me food, let me sleep. I come to you weak. Give me strength, and that's deep. Call me a sheep and lead me to green pastures. Only asking that I keep the focus in between the chapters. You give me the word, only accent I interpret and give me the eyes that I may recognize the serpent. You know I ain't perfect, but you'd like me to try. I'm like the devil who just wants me to lie till I die. Lord, why is it that I go through so much pain? All I saw was black. All I felt was rain. I come to you because it's you who knows. Show me that everything was black because my eyes were closed. You gave me the light and let me bask in your glory. So it was only right that when you asked for this story, I put it together to do our dog some good. Our dogs being brothers and sisters in the hood. Plenty of times you said help my way, but I hid. And I remember once you held me close, but I slid. There was something that I just had to see, that you wanted me to see so I could be what you wanted me to be. And I think I've seen it, but I don't feel the same. Matter of fact, I know I've seen it. I can feel the change. It's strange. It almost got me beating down your door. But I've never known love like this before. It's a wonderful feeling to get away from the pain. And up under the ceiling, I get away from the rain. And the strain that I feel when I'm here is gone. I know real, so I wipe away the tears, son. And I almost lost faith when you took my man. Monty, Faso, and Dre's brother Dad. And I fear that what I'm saying won't be heard until I'm gone. But it's all good, because I really didn't expect to live long. So if it takes for me to suffer, for my brother to see the light, give me pain till I die. But please, Lord, treat him right. Let us pray. I thank you, Lord, for my birth and everything that's followed. I thank you, Lord, for today, and I will pray for tomorrow. I thank you, Lord, for the love of my life and a friend. I made a promise, and I'm loving my wife to the end. I thank you, Lord, for your guidance, because it's all that counts. And right here, right now, Lord, this is your house. I thank you, Lord, for a dream that came true to light. And I ask you to bless everybody in this room tonight. I don't always do the right thing, and I ask you to forgive me. Because I need you here with me. Without you, my life is empty. I think back how some people did me like violence was the remedy. And because I think of that now, I pray for my enemy. Not because of what I'll do, but because they don't know. There's something better after here. But everybody won't go. So I ask you to forgive them. And we'll hope they see. And I thank you for the love that they've given to me. I will not abuse it, nor will I lead them astray. You see, I love them like children that I see every day. And I pray, no, we pray together. Get us through the bad weather, and we love you forever. Let your thought and my heart go hand in hand. I first thought, but to start. But I stand a man. And for as long as I can, as long as you permit me, please give me the strength I need to live. Bear with me. Let us pray.
Big A, thanks a lot. Close the show. It was Luke Father's Day. Highlights. Let me be the man my daddy was. Dr. Andy Sports, the Blog Talk Radio, Texas Government Network. Thanks for being with us. God bless you all. We'll be talking to you before Father's Day. Big A, love you, baby. And regards to everybody in the family. Highlights. Let me be the man my daddy was. Dr. Andy Sports, the Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network.
and then Big A, GW, and Gilberto June. What's in that with Dr. Emily Smaley Sr. and his sports posse? Gilberto June Ortiz from the Latin side of working on boxing is an in-depth, informative, and educational. Take a look at the world of sports on this renowned and legendary award-winning radio show, Sports in Depth. Also, our guest tonight, special nephews, Little Pete and Big A. SID diverses from both a daily and historical perspective, bringing also both an in-depth look, perspective only on the sports of our times, with two players and performers of the said events, both now and of yesteryear. Sports in Depth, a.k.a. SID, also brings us the unique strategies of sports from an intellectual perspective, not just athletics, because as it takes raw God-given talent and conditioning, the two takes a God-blessed mind filled with passion, determination, intellect, be for competing and accomplishing too. With the in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect of Doc's iconic posse, Sports in Depth is too world in depth. Thanks for joining us once again, where we broke the rumors, talk to the issues, and brand the truth. Doc's words of wit, wisdom, and truth. The thought of tomorrow is not a promise. If it does come, a blessing from God. Many say they are friends. He pretends to be a friend. You are. Say you love one someone, but them saying they love you, who was in the pudding? Being loved, being in love, be loved. I'm telling you, Sports Day, Bob Talk Radio, the Trust in God Red Network. Thanks for joining us once again. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you all, and trust in God. Happy Father's Day, the mothers and fathers out there. Sports in Depth, Bob Talk Radio, the Trust in God Radio Network. Sports in Depth, Bob Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Big and strong, he goes to work each day and stays all day long. Comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile. And when he says to me, "How's my child?" I say, "I've been studying hard all day in school, trying hard to understand the golden rule, and I think I'll color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color him love.
Color him father.
I'm gonna color him father.
Color
yes,
him
think
father.
I'll color this man love.
Color him father.
He says education is the thing if you wanna compete. Because without a son, you know life ain't very sweet. And I love this man. I don't know why, except I need his strength until the day I die. And my mother loves him, yes, I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard her say just the other day, if it hadn't been for him, well, she couldn't have found a way. And I think I'll color him father, yeah, I think I'll color him love. Him working now, see? Yeah. Come on now. Oh! You know our real old man, he got killed in the war. And mother knows she and seven kids couldn't have got very far.
She said she thought she could never love again. And then there he stood with that big wide grin. And he married my mother and took us in. Yeah, and now we belong to the man with that big wide grin. Like I said before, I heard her say just the other day, if it hadn't been